You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 320 of Locked On Raptors for Monday? Yeah, it's Monday. I forget all the days at this point. Monday, April 23rd. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter at WoodleySean. The show is on Twitter as well at Locked On Raptors, where, of course, you can find links to every single episode. Make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Team focus shows for all 30 NBA teams. Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd if you're doing daily fantasy during the playoffs. You got Locked On NBA daily across the entire week from all a bunch of the different hosts from around the network as well, chipping in there, and you can find those all together in the Locked On NBA iTunes channel. Please, if you can subscribe, rate, review Locked On Raptors on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all those places. It's very helpful, makes us more popular, and it feels pretty good for my ego as well to see nice reviews on there, so please do that. And thanks in advance for taking the time. All right, on today's show, we're going to dive into Game 4. The Raptors lost 106-98 to the Wizards. It was bad. It was dumb. And to join me to talk about the bad and dumb game from The Score and the Pound the Rock podcast, which is blowing up all over the internet, it's our pal Joel Wolfon. How's it going, buddy?
It's going all right, man. I'm, you know, mired in a little more Raptors-related angst than I would like, but otherwise things are fine.
It would not be April if we did not have ulcers relating to the Raptors at this point in the season. So it's actually kind of comforting to be at this point again. Joe, the culture reset has failed. It's over. DeMar DeRozan is bad again. The Raptors are frauds who can't do it in the playoffs. And this all came out of 12 minutes of really bad basketball. I guess 24 minutes of really bad basketball in game 4 against the Wizards. This game was bad the entire time. Even though the Raptors were winning in the first half, I still hated every second of it. It just felt like they weren't playing well. They were getting a lot of nice whistles. The refs in this game were bad all around, I think you could easily say, calling literally everything, and it kind of made it a very sort of stop-and-start game to watch. And then the Raptors pissed it away in the fourth quarter, and there's lots of things we can get to from that. I guess let's start general and we can go specific. What was your biggest sort of gripe with how the fourth quarter ended for the Raptors?
I think just the general stagnancy of the offense. I think that's a pretty obvious one, but it was pretty disappointing just because we didn't really get a chance to see it in that Game 3 loss because it was kind of ugly all around and it was a blowout by the end. Mm-hmm. But in that Game 1, when things got tight down the stretch, I think that it was really heartening to see them stick to their, you know, newfound offensive principles and ride that out to a victory, a much-needed victory. And so it was pretty disappointing to see them in this game kind of backslide and revert to a little bit more of that iso ball where a lot of guys were standing around watching, and DeMar and Kyle kind of felt like the impetus was on them to do it themselves. And I think that doesn't just fall on them. I think that falls on everybody. The rest of the guys were not stepping up, plain and simple. And there's like a chicken and the egg thing there, I think, where, you know, like is DeMar taking over these possessions because he recognizes that everybody else is a little bit spooked and that DeLon is passing up threes and Serge is, you know, letting passes slide through his fingers and CJ is clanking threes, like, and from there he decides that it's going to have to be him that wins or loses them the game, or are guys standing around and watching because it's gotten to a point where they just expect that any kind of off-ball cut that they're going to make is going to go unrewarded. You know, I think both of those things are valid in their own ways, but the bottom line is I felt like there wasn't a lot of trust in the system down the stretch of that game, and it was a really winnable game, so it was pretty disappointing to see them let it go.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's it. I don't know if you had any other thoughts on that.
Yeah, but no, I'm with you, man. It was, again, very winnable. I thought the Wizards were not particularly inspiring in this game, so I guess if there's something that you want to be encouraged by, it's that the Wizards were also kind of bad. They were just less bad at the end and kind of took advantage of the spots in which the Raptors were bad, because Like, I thought the Raptors' defense was mostly fine. Like, the first half, they held them, like, a 57 offensive rating in half-court situations, which is excellent. It was just the dumb turnovers that kind of led to John Wall doing John Wall things and running out and, you know, either just getting to the rim himself or setting guys up for threes, and that was kind of in the fourth quarter as well. Most of the Wizards' buckets came off of dumb plays from the Raptors that just went quickly back the other way. Like, the Raptors, I think, kind of stuck with their defensive, you know, strategy of saying, all right, Wizards, like, take all the mid-range shots you want. We're fine with that. And it really worked in the first half, and it just didn't quite work in the second half, and it was kind of uplifted by the transition opportunities they got into the dumb turnovers. But to go back to the trust thing, which was, like, the big word, aside from culture reset, it was the biggest word kind of floating around the Raptors in the summer, in sort of the relationship and the bridge between the stars and the secondary guys. And, like, Damari Carroll talked about this on his way out. And so the reason I have, like, sort of some optimism going forward is that, like, I think 82 games of a full season should sort of reestablish the trust with DeMar and Kyle and the rest of the team going forward. Like, I think in this game, though, I think it's totally understandable that DeMar kind of felt like he had to do it himself, because there was just nothing from the other guys. CJ Miles had 3 turnovers. I think he might have touched the ball 5 times. Like, there was one play in the fourth quarter. It was one of the very few plays that Kyle Lowry actually initiated, which we can get to as well. He initiated it. The Wizards trapped. DeMar swung it over to Kyle swung it over to DeMar. DeMar got stopped trying to make a drive, and he sort of kicked it back to Serge at the top of the nail. And then wide open, Kyle Lowry with 2 guys converging on Serge, and Serge just completely throws a pass into Kelly Oubre's hand. I think it was Kelly Oubre. And there was just, it would have been a wide open 3 for Kyle, except for the dumb pass by Serge, and it all kind of falls apart there. And I just felt like there were a lot of instances in this game where the supporting cast just kind of dented the trust, right? Like, there was the Pascal Siakam weird push shot that he hit 70% of the time in the regular season that he just completely, like, almost airballed from 4 feet out. That was super bizarre. There was Yak making a couple interesting plays on the roll. He got kind of bailed out one time by a DeLon cut where he hit him baseline for a nice layup. But there was another one where it was like a pick and roll. Kyle hit Poeltl, and then Poeltl just, like, went for this, like, very out of control layup that had no chance of going in, just kind of, like, ricocheted off the top of the backboard and back the other way. And I just think there were a lot of instances in which the supporting cast kind of betrayed the trust of Kyle and DeMar almost. I mean, you had the Serge bobbling the really bad pass from DeMar in the corner. That was kind of shared fault, I think, in that one, on that transition opportunity, I think, in the third quarter. And then there was DeLon passing up open threes, which he hasn't done so far this series. Like, there were a lot of reasons, I think, that DeMar and Kyle might have gotten tunnel vision. And it was mostly DeMar. Like, we should probably get to this. Like, DeMar ran pretty much every possession down the stretch. Kyle barely touched the ball. He had, like, 19 points with 10 and a half minutes left in the game and finished with 19 points. And the offense really very much resembled what they've done in the past, where they just have someone comes at a high screen. It was Jakob Poeltl for most of this instance. I think he played the entire fourth quarter, which was another problem. He wasn't really screening particularly well. John Wall was recovering nicely or not even getting phased by the screens at all. And DeMar was just kind of trying to get that head of steam that we've talked about for the last 4 years that he likes to do, going around screens. And it just didn't produce enough offense for the Raptors to survive. What did you think of the sort of DeMar-Kyle balance late in this game? Like, would you have liked to see Kyle dictate the terms a little bit more often than he was given the opportunity to?
Yeah, I would have, but honestly, like, it kind of just goes back to what you were saying. I thought, like, early in the fourth quarter, Kyle was running the offense, DeMar was on the bench.
Yeah.
And it was going okay, but it wasn't going that well. And, like, the game turned when the Wizards basically started hitting shots and started, like, getting points on their runouts.
Yeah.
But, like, Kyle, like, there were a couple times when he hit Poeltl on the short roll. He hit Serge on the short roll. Serge, like, missed DeLon wide open in the corner.
Yeah.
And Poeltl a couple times was just, like, not even really looking to go to the basket. He would just, like, kind of pull the ball back out. One time that actually led to, like, a nice DeLon cut on the baseline in the basket. But for the most part, it wasn't going that much better when Kyle was running the offense. I think kind of what happened, I guess, was I guess for DeMar at the end of the game, like, you saw a couple times when DeLon was just, like, so hesitant to shoot. Serge also passed up a pretty open look at a three mm-hmm. on one possession. And first of all, the Raptors shot 18 threes in this game, which is their lowest attempt total by far this season. They hadn't shot fewer than 21 in any game. And part of the reason for that, I think, was like at the end of the game, DeMar was getting converged on when he was driving the ball, and he wasn't kicking it out. Like, that's, I think, where the Raps managed to generate the majority of the three-point looks is on driving kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he was kind of like going there either looking to score or looking to draw a foul, which he wasn't getting a whistle late in the game, and probably had a couple opportunities to kick the ball out and like start a couple swing sequences that got them the threes that they weren't getting because the Wizards were switching and instead of trapping. And that just didn't happen. So it's really hard to say, honestly, if it would have gone any better if Kyle had like had the reins a little bit more, because it's just different. Like, he wasn't getting that kind of dribble penetration, I feel like, that they needed in order to start those sequences on the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
But DeMar just like didn't quite have the vision to start those sequences off of the penetration that he was generating. So I don't know. I guess it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But at the end of the day, DeMar had a 46.4% usage rate, which is his highest usage rate in any game this season. And if you look at kind of like the formula that the Raps have had for success this season, like four of DeMar's five highest usage games this season were losses.
Mm-hmm.
And four of the Raptors' five lowest three-point attempt games this season were also losses. And I think those two things are kind of related because, you know, if DeMar's using a lot of possessions, that tends to mean that the Raptors aren't getting a lot of three-point shots up. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you feel like... I mean, I guess Kyle was marginalized a bit, but there were also a couple times when it was like he had Gortat switched onto him, he had Markieff Morris switched onto him,
yeah,
and he couldn't beat those guys off the dribble, so...
Yeah, he had the one in the third quarter where he got Markieff on him, and then he blew by him and had that nice reverse layup that he got an and-one on, and then after that, it was kind of it. Like, he had Gortat. The one, I think probably the most egregious Lowry possession from the fourth, I think could have... Like, there might have been some bad luck there. Like, Kyle drove on Gortat, then kind of slipped, I don't know, like wet spot on the floor, or just like a random stumble, and then had to kind of reset, and then there was just not enough time for them to really sort of initiate anything else. So we put up the three over Gortat, which, like, not the best shot by any means, but also, like, I'm okay with Kyle taking a three in that situation at the end of the clock. Like, that's the guy you want with the ball in his hands, I suppose. But yeah, they weren't doing a good enough job attacking the switches, and honestly, I feel like we have to kind of credit the Wizards' defense, because they have definitely sort of... A, changed things up, and B, just like played better defense and tried harder in the last two games as opposed to the first two games, where both their scheme and effort were kind of non-existent or flawed. And so, like, I think in the fourth quarter in particular, because everything was just like Pirtle high screen and roll, they weren't really switching all that much. It was just Wall fighting through the screens or just like not being touched by the screens at all and sticking in front of DeMar, and Gortat not having really to do that much work in the recovery aspect of things there, and just able to sort of get back to the rim and be there to sort of defend DeMar. And like, I think another thing too is the Raptors have been very happy to go to the rim these last couple games, and I think the Wizards are just doing a better job of defending at the rim, which I'm not sure you can pencil in for them to do over the course of a full series, because they were a pretty bad rim protection team all season, even with Gortat in there. They don't have much shot blocking, but they did a really good job of contesting everything, and yes, they picked up a million fouls on DeMar, but there were also a lot of really tough contested baskets or shots around the rim that, you know, either DeMar makes all the time, DeLon had a couple that were really contested. Like, the Wizards are just playing better defense, and I think they've kind of morphed their style a little bit to try to deter the Raptors from getting up a bunch of threes, and like, they're not really trapping DeMar anymore, although they are trapping Kyle a little bit, which is another thing that kind of goes into my thinking that maybe they should just have Kyle create a little bit more, just have the ball in his hands to start possessions more often, because they are trapping him still, and if they're going to do that, that creates those 4-on-3 situations that the Raptors have exploited so well this year and in this series in games 1 and 2. So that would be interesting, because they're just not trapping DeMar at all. I think they're happy to let DeMar try to do what he did in game 2 to them, go where he took 24 shots, he was 13-24 or whatever it was, 14-23, and was incredible in that game, and I think they're just going to kind of try to live with that. And I don't know, is there something that the Wizards have done defensively that you think is kind of, you know, it kind of forced the Raptors to sort of put up less threes and sort of, you know, goading the Raptors into having DeMar and Kyle do more? And if so, is there something you think the Raptors can do to counter that?
I mean, I don't know if there's much more to it than the fact that they're, like, doing a better job of closing out on shooters, and the fact that they're, like, just not trapping those pick and rolls as much has like created far fewer opportunities for the Raptors to kind of like get the ball moving out of those traps and then eventually find somebody open in the corner. I think it's a combination of those two things. And honestly, yeah, like the Wizards have played way better. I think that is something that gets lost in our analysis of these games because obviously, you know, we watch it with Raptors colored glasses and like, like it's, I don't know. I mean, for one thing, they started hitting a ton of shots in the second half that they weren't hitting in the first half. And that was also, I think, what just changed the momentum of the game a lot. And I would love to be able to say, like, that's just one of those things and shit happens. And I think, you know, for a lot of other teams, or if the Raptors' playoff history wasn't what it is, we would probably be able to say that. But the Raptors' playoff history is what it is, so it becomes harder to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and say this is just one of those things, and it'll turn around because we've just seen this movie, I think, one too many times before to have faith that it's going to change. But yeah, I mean, offensively, I just think like they just need to have a little bit more off-ball movement, I think, and set more like off-ball screens and have more cuts. And I think OG being limited in the second half had a lot to do with that. Like, he has been one of their most active cutters in this series. And, like, just finding space, especially along the baseline, that, like, you know, able to take advantage of, like, the Wizards' inattentiveness or anytime they're loading up on Kyle, basically. Like, he's been able to find space. And I thought he was, like, noticeably limited when he came back into the game. Mm-hmm. And that had an impact on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, if OG's not 100%, that's going to be tough. Especially down Fred also. I mean, that's tricky.
Yeah, and being down Fred, I mean, I just feel like the Kyle... sorry, not the Kyle and bench units. Like, the DeMar and bench units have been really not good.
Oh, yeah.
The whole series. There's just not really enough spacing there. And then defensively, you have, like, Kyle and CJ playing alongside each other. So it kind of doesn't really work at either end. Mm-hmm. And I know it would be tough to break that up just because of like the very familiar substitution patterns that the Raptors have and how, you know, they now have staggered it so that Lowry is able to come in and play the whole fourth quarter. Like, he'll be at, you know, 27 or 28 minutes coming into the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not able to do that if they don't have those, you know, they're not staggering those minutes so that DeMar is playing with the bench. But I wonder if they can figure out a way around that, because it just hasn't looked great.
Yeah, definitely not. If OG's, I mean, Dwayne said after the game that he thinks he's going to be fine, but they've also said that Fred's going to be fine for the last 2 weeks, so I don't know what to expect there. Like, I guess it's just Norm. Like, it's Norm's time. Game 5 playoff, pivotal playoff game 5 Norm, I guess we're going to see. Is that like the... he didn't play last night. The Raptors went to strict 9-man rotation last night for the first time, and it was kind of weird. But also, I didn't totally disagree with it because Kyle on the bench has been very good. It was their best lineup last night by far. But is there, like, with Norm, if Norm was to be the starting three, how concerned are you about the Raptors' viability in this series and their likelihood of winning Game 5?
I wouldn't feel great about it. I think he's looked all kinds of awful pretty much any time he's stepped on the floor in the series. And maybe part of that is just he hasn't had a chance to build up any kind of a rhythm. But the dude got stripped at the three-point line by Jan Mahinmi. Like, that's... I don't know what else to say. He just hasn't had it. And I think he's still pretty up inside his own head.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't had that same sort of like assertiveness or decision making that made him such a devastating attacker off of the catch in postseasons past. So, and then like his defense on Beal kind of was supposed to be the thing that made him playable in this series, and it's not like we had a large sample to work with, but he hasn't been a game changer at the defensive end either, so mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of value he's giving you that's going to allow the Raptors to, you know, assuming that OG is compromised, I don't know how you replace the production that he's been giving them in this series, because I think he's probably been their third best player, honestly.
Yeah, he's been excellent. I think Yeah, to take away OG, that eliminates your best lineup in the series so far. Your second best, if you want to call Lowry and the bench the best. Like, to take away one of those staple lineups that's played so many minutes for you would be a significant blow, considering the Powell with the starters lineup has been a disaster all season long from the jump. It's maybe you throw Miles in there as a starter and sort of just try to outscore the opponent, I suppose, but I don't like the idea of that defensively. It's tough when you're down. If you're going to be down Fred and OG, which we don't know OG's not going to play. We don't even know Fred's not going to play the next game, although the reports don't seem all that encouraging, and there's like a risk of re-injury for 6 weeks or something like that with Fred, which is terrifying and not good. But I still maintain some confidence, I guess, that they can kind of put together enough lineups that would work. But yeah, OG's been a very nice piece of glue to kind of put in all these lineups and make them effective. So that would suck a lot. Are these, like, because they're 2-2 and because they've had a couple rough games and they reverted a little bit in game two, like, is this series already, like, a failure to you? 'Cause I don't think it is. First, let me put it out there. I don't think it is. I don't think one game is, like, I don't think it matters all that much. But I do feel like there is some sentiment out there right now, like, oh, they didn't breeze through this series, therefore they're a failure, therefore they're going to lose in the second round, blah, 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 blah. I kind of just think that's dumb. Like, to use 24 minutes of bad basketball to sort of make grand statements about a team that's played 82 games with this new style and that looked great for the first two games of the playoffs, which they've never done before, I think that would be very stupid and short-sighted, but people are going to overreact in the playoffs, and that's just kind of the nature of the beast. But, like, it's not like a failure to you that they are having a closer-than-expected series with the Wizards, right? Like, as long as they win the series, like, it's not some, like, grand indictment of the whole operation.
No, I think, yeah, if you win the series, then it's hard to call it a failure. I think game four on its own was definitely an abject failure, yeah. But I think that's going to happen. And again, like, the Wizards are not a bad team. They had a bad season, and they at times play very badly.
Yeah.
But they are a really talented team that I think, you know, it is just a lot of the times less than the sum of its parts. And the Raptors are a team that is, I think, greater than the sum of its parts most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what people are reacting to when they, you know, they have these sort of reactionary emotional takes to results like this is the fact that it seemed like this year, like the dream about this year's Raptors was that they could kind of overcome this deficit of elite talent,
mm-hmm.
by employing the system that allowed them to basically beat teams that had more talent than them just through, like, trust and smart play, and a system that they all sort of bought into and were able to rely on and kind of nailed down to an art over the course of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing that not succeed in the playoffs, even if it's just for a couple of games, is, like, I think, understandably putting a scare into a lot of people, because at the end of the day, like, the Raptors don't have elite talent to fall back on. Like, it's not, if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan and you have LeBron James on your team, like, it's easier to feel comfortable when you're tied 2-2 in a series, because you can feel confident that LeBron is going to pull you through. And not that, you know, Kyle and DeMar can't pull the Raptors through, but at the end of the day, that's not why they've been so successful this season, and that's not, I don't think, what's going to ultimately bring them the kind of success that Raptors fans grew to expect when the team, you know, was the best team in the Eastern Conference for the entire season. I think the expectation for a lot of people has, and in a lot of ways should be, that the team is going to win the Eastern Conference. Yeah. And in order to do that, like, you know, you have to, I think, just kind of rely on what's gotten you to this point. And I don't think that necessarily means that they were going to breeze past the Wizards. I just think the feeling is, like, they really had an opportunity here to go home up 3-1 and to get out of it in five games and actually, like, have a chance to breathe and get a rest before the next round for once. So it's not a failure, but it's still really disappointing that that's not going to happen. And then it's like, it looks like it's going to be another tough 6 or 7 game series. Despite this being, like, I think, like, the most lopsided series in terms of net rating out of all the first round series.
Yeah.
So I think, like, the expectation is understandable. I don't know if it necessarily was realistic, again, because the Wizards do have a lot of talent. But I understand why, you know, people might feel that way, just because it felt like there was this promise that this year was going to be different, that they had figured something out that was going to kind of change the way these postseason runs went. And that might still happen again. Like, I think it's really important to keep that in mind, mm-hmm. and keep everything in perspective. But right now, it feels awfully familiar, you know, to be tied 2-2 and going back home for this must-win Game 5. It's going to be, I think, you know, a lot more anxiety-filled than people were hoping it would be.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And that was a bad loss. Like, that, any way you look at it, it was a bad loss. They should not have lost that game. Bradley Beal fouls out with whatever it was, like almost 6 minutes left. Like, you shouldn't lose that game in that situation. And they kind of let it get away from them with dumb turnovers and just silly, simplistic offense that really seemed like they were doing the same thing every time down. And that's something, I think, that has been sort of a bugaboo in the past and was a nice thing this season, where it just kind of, it was so varied, their attack this year, that like it was pretty jarring to see them just run the same play over and over and over again into the ground. But at the same time, like, I think the realistic argument you made, like, I think that has to be, like, kept in mind here. Like, as it'd be nice for the Raptors to sweep the first round, like, I don't think that was ever going to be a thing. Like, the Wizards are very good, and, like, they have a lot of talent, and when it all comes together, they're a dangerous team, and I think everyone knew that coming in. That's why everyone coming into the series was like, oh, no, the Wizards are the least desirable matchup of the three that were potential first-round matchups. Like, that, we don't want to play the Wizards. They're good. And I don't think you can say that and be all paranoid about the Wizards and then be all disappointed when they show some fight and show that they're actually, in fact, a good team in the playoff series that at hand. So I think, honestly, we should probably do away with the whole idea of, like, just breezing through the first round is the only way to be successful in the first round, because as we've seen in this first round across the NBA, it's really hard. NBA teams are good. They're well-coached, maybe more well-coached than they ever have been before. And, like, sweeping a team is not easy, and just, like, rolling over a team is not easy. There's pride involved, especially with the goddamn Wizards. I mean, God, like, they're the proudest team ever. And, like, I don't think they were ever going to just lay down and let someone walk over them. But, yeah, I think as long as they win the series and sort of get through, like, I think it justifies everything. I think having two games at the start of the series where, you know, you look at the Bucks series last year, there was, like, maybe one game where everything worked perfectly and sort of was to people's liking in terms of being, like, a satisfying victory. All the other wins were kind of grimy or down to the wire, and, you know, they gave up that big run in Game 6 against the Bucks. Like, none of these series over the past few years have had two games in which they looked amazing, and they have that already. So I still think they should be favored in the series. Kevin Pelton tweeted that number out last night, that 79% of teams who have home court going back for a game five tied 2-2, they're going to win the series. Like, obviously that is, you know, hard to rely on when it's the Raptors. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of baggage with Raptors fans, but I think there's still lots of reasons to be optimistic. And I think, honestly, the biggest one for me is, like, I believe that game four will be sort of a self-contained sort of nugget where they've kind of lost their trust, they lost their style, they lost sort of what made their identity in the regular season. Like, I think over the course of the season, we've seen games where the secondary guys, you know, performed poorly and didn't play well or missed shots or made dumb decisions, and it always seems to kind of come right back. And I think the quotes after the game last night from DeMar and Kyle and Dwayne, like, I think they realized they got away from what made them, you know, good in the regular season in game four. And I think that the difference between that and years past would be, like, they were just like, no, we're just going to keep doing the same thing. We're going to ride with our guys until we have nothing left and empty the clip, as you mentioned in your piece today for the score, which was very good, by the way. People should read. But yeah, I think they recognize that they kind of erred a little bit away from what they typically like to do. And I think, you know, instead of just, like, doing the same thing and being insane and trying over and over again to make it work with an offensive style that was flawed, I think they are going to be very concerted in trying to get back to what made them good in the regular season. But hey, I'm also the optimistic guy who is always saying it's fine. So maybe I'm a little too pie in the sky with this. I don't know. Anything else we should hit on before we wrap this thing up, Joe? Is there any other things that are making your blood boil from that game?
Not really. I mean, I think, like, the thing with Gortat screens is just, like, always going to be a thing.
Yeah.
It's annoying. He's really good at it, and he gets away with a lot of illegal contact on those screens that makes like the two-man actions that the Wizards like to run really difficult. And you know, when they really got going in that third quarter, they scored 40 points, and a ton of them were off of Bradley Beal threes. But yeah, he was getting open off Gortat screens, and OG was getting hung up on a ton of screens. I think part of that was the fact that maybe he wasn't 100% because of that ankle.
That's been a thing the whole series, though. I mean, he's been getting killed by Gortat screens.
Yeah, and I don't know what you do about that. I wonder, like, I think with the... I don't know. They might need to find a way to alter, like, the way that they're guarding the pick and rolls with Beal and Gortat. Mm-hmm. Because I think someone's got to step up. Like, if OG is not going to be able to get through those screens, Jonas, I don't think, can be, like, hanging back in the paint, because Beal is going to be able to pull up, and he's shown that, obviously, he can knock those down. And there were some backbreakers in that game where he just had way, way too much space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, in large part, that was why Jonas ended up out of the game, which was kind of strange that he didn't come back when Beal fouled out. I felt like that was maybe, like, an opportunity to get Jonas back in the game.
Yeah.
And maybe get, like, a better screen setter there at the offensive end and not worry about giving it too much of it back, because Wall obviously isn't as much of a threat to pull up from deep. But, yeah, that was just something. And also, Gortat's, like, really good at kind of turning around and screening his own man.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple times when he just, like, wiped Poeltl completely out of the play and gave Wall, like, a clear lane to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what you necessarily do about that, but I wonder if we might see them alter the scheme, just like specifically guarding like the Beal-Gortat pick and rolls.
Yeah, I wonder. Maybe this kind of ties into it. My big question going forward is, like, it's kind of been varied a little bit. I mean, it's been Ibaka one game. I think Jonas might have closed at some point early in the series. I can't really remember at this point. But, like, who do you think should be, assuming that Gortat's playing, because he stopped being a pumpkin after game two and he's actually playing well, and the Wizards are going back to the thing where they almost always have a traditional center on the court. Like, what do you think is the best way to sort of go about playing crunch time in the front court? Because I kind of want to see Serge at the five a little bit, because I don't think Gortat is particularly adept at coming out to guard the perimeter. And, like, I think if you give some more space for those drives for DeMar and Kyle, like, I think that could also be kind of useful. At the same time, I kind of understand the Hive and, like, being upset that Jonas wasn't playing yesterday. And I can kind of see why, you know, especially if you're going to be running an offense that is entirely based on high pick and roll, like, the dude who can actually screen people and do it effectively, not to knock Poeltl, but Poeltl was screening terribly in game four, like, just not doing anything to affect John Wall. Like, if you have Jonas out there, maybe that sort of makes that approach a little bit easier. But then, of course, maybe you're falling back maybe in more into the, you know, the predictable offense type of thing. I don't know. It's not an easy answer, but I feel like there are some things the Raptors can do. I honestly think I would go Serge at the five, and then if OG's healthy, I'd love to see OG play the four with, like, Miles, DeMar, Lowry, something like that, as, like, a closing five. We saw the lineup with DeLon early in the series. That kind of blew game two open, if I'm not mistaken, which was the same lineup with DeLon instead of OG that I just laid out there. I mean, they have options. This is the nice thing about the roster. There's a million options. I think it's just a matter of trying to find the right one. But what are you kind of leaning towards right now?
I love the idea of, like, Serge at the five and OG at the four.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, you probably give something up on the glass, but I feel like that's a worthwhile trade-off.
And they're also not a very good rebounding team, the Wizards, even with Gortat in there.
Yeah. So, and honestly, like, at the beginning of the season, like, I was, you know, I'm on record as saying I feel like the Raps should give more minutes to, like, a Poeltl Ibaka front court, because in theory it seems like it should work.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have bad. Ibaka who can space the floor, and then defensively both those guys can switch, and, you know, you have Poeltl who can be a dive man while Serge pops to the three-point line. Like, for whatever reason, it just does not work. And mm-hmm. like, having those two guys on the floor together has been disastrous pretty much all season long. And so I think, you know, they can't really go back to the well on that front after closing that way in game four and it being, you know, disastrous once again. So I think definitely trying Serge at the five is a good idea. And I wouldn't hate closing with Jonas and Ibaka either. I just think they need to figure out a way to like, to guard that Beal Gortat pick and roll in a way that's, like, not going to get Jonas played off the floor.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. Like, if Jonas is just, like, going to start showing a little bit higher, I don't know, or Geiser is going to, you know, make more of a concerted effort to get over that screen and be able to, like, affect Beal's shot from behind, force him into the mid-range, and, like, have Jonas step up just, like, a little bit higher. I think there has to be an adjustment there if that's going to work. But again, like, I think probably having Jonas out there to close game four would have opened things up offensively a little bit. And I'm with you. I understand the Hives' frustration on that front, because sticking with Poeltl and Ibaka for as long as they did obviously didn't bear any fruit.
Yeah, one thing also that maybe this is, like, a very playoffy kind of thing you could try to bust out, but Markieff Morris has not been particularly good in this series, and
no.
I don't think he's very good anyway, but he's shooting 25% on threes. He had a really good game one, but that's about it. I wonder if maybe you could try Ibaka on Gortat and then do to Markieff Morris what the Raptors did to Jeff Green when they played the Cavs near the end of the season, where they just put Jonas on Jeff Green and were like, all right, you're going to beat us, go ahead. That might be the poison that you want to pick. I wonder if Casey will try to bust that out, or maybe Morris is too much of a looming threat, and maybe he's too not Jeff Greeny to do that too. But I think, I don't know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the playoffs, you're playing against good teams, and you're always going to have to make a choice and pick kind of like the lesser of a few evils, right? And I think, I don't think that's a bad one at all, especially, like you say, Morris hasn't been particularly good. And yeah, like if you want to stick Ibaka on Gortat and kind of have him there to show high and make it difficult for Beal to kind of get into the paint or create separation on his jump shot, then I definitely think that's worth a look. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But
yeah.
I think they have to try something different than what they did in game four. That's pretty obvious.
I also wonder too, like, the thing with Jonas at center and in that Gortat Beal pick and roll. I mean, yes, Beal is a threat to pull up, but I also think, like, having Jonas out there kind of, while it gives up a lot of mid-range shots, and that's kind of been the thing all season, they're happy to give those up. Like, I don't know if I hate that against the Wizards, because they, like, that is still kind of a poison that you're okay picking, I think, with the Wizards. Like, we saw it in the first half yesterday. Like, the Wizards are going to go hot and cold from there. Obviously, if they're feeling themselves and they're crazy hot, like, that's not what you want to do. But I also don't think it's, like, the worst idea to just keep playing the same way you have. Hope that maybe OG or, I don't know, they haven't had Lowry guard Beal very much the last couple of games. I wonder if they'll try that again, because he did really well, I think, on him. I know the numbers didn't say that he did particularly well in the matchup data, but I think anecdotally it looked like he did a pretty good job on Beal and gave him some trouble and was better at fighting through screens than OG was. So maybe that's how you sort of balance that. I don't know. There's a lot of things to figure out. Beal is very good, and it's a bummer that he's kind of figured out to he's kind of like regained some energy after looking dead the first two games. But I think, honestly, the Raptors should be okay giving up mid-range shots to the Wizards, and I don't know if they have to totally bend what they do to prevent them from taking those. But yeah, lots of things to consider. But yeah, this series
to me, honestly, like the bottom line is just like they have to make the Wizards play in the half court because.
Yeah.
Their half-court offense has not been good.
Yeah.
And, you know, coughing up 18 turnovers is just not going to cut it.
Yeah.
And part of that was the turnovers, but part of it also was, like, the late-game offensive execution that led to just a ton of runouts off of defensive rebounds. They were running off of every single miss and scoring almost every time. So I think, you know, as long as the offensive execution is better and they're holding onto the basketball, then they will be fine because, again, like the half-court defense has been good. So.
Yep. All right, I think that's going to do it, man. Thanks for coming on for what was a longer podcast than I expected, but I feel like we talked it out a little bit, got some therapy going here. I'm feeling okay about Game 5. Home court, they're like 30-whatever, 107 at home. Like they should be good in Game 5, I would hope. Hopefully OG's fine. Fred, do some steroids, buddy. Come on back. Have a Jody Meeks milkshake, and I don't know.
I mean, this guy came back from a torn ACL in like 2 weeks, so
yeah.
I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, I feel like he'll play probably. Just ice it up real good, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was good, man. Thanks for coming on. Where can people find you? Anything you want to plug right now?
Yeah, no, I wrote about Game 4, probably, you know, a little bit more emotionally than I would have with the benefit of, like, a little bit of distance. You can read that on The Score. You can follow me on Twitter, Joey_W, spelled out phonetically. I'm always posting my work. So, yeah, give me a follow.
More people should be following Joe, by the way. It's ludicrous that Joe does not have more followers than a dumb idiot like me. Also, check out Pound the Rock, your podcast with Will Liu, Joseph Cacharo.
Oh, yeah. It's very good. I should plug that as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good podcast that you should subscribe, rate, and review. You guys owe me a review, by the way. I put one on your page. You owe me one now.
Yeah, I gave you a rating, but I haven't written a review yet, but I'll get right on that.
Inexcusable.
yeah, fair enough.
Joe, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks so much to the listeners for tuning in. We'll be back again probably on Tuesday to tee up the next game and, I don't know, look into this. I don't know. We covered everything here. We'll figure out something to talk about on Tuesday, I'm sure. Maybe we'll talk to a Wizards guy again and kind of get their perspective on things. Until then, subscribe, rate, review to the podcast on iTunes. It's very, very useful and helpful and nice and a good way to support the show. A show that is free, by the way. So just do that. Consider that your payment for the show. And until Tuesday, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.